Family of God in Eureka, welcome to St. Mark's this morning, and just it's so wonderful to be here and to be able to worship together. Today we're going to be coming into contact with our Lord and talking about his glory, and as we do so, let us all gather, let us begin in the name of Christ, in the name of of our triune God into which we were baptized, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us to come into your presence, Lord, to be here where you are, to receive from you the amazing gifts that you have given us, Lord, the comfort of knowing that we are never alone, but Lord, more important than that, that incredible forgiveness of sins, life and salvation that you offer us. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to be at work in us this service, Lord. Help us to receive your forgiveness. Help us to receive the instruction of your word. And help us, Lord, as we live out that faith that you have placed in our hearts through praise and worship of you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter, and suffering death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Having received this gift of forgiveness, let us return praise to this God that forgave us.
Oh, Good morning. My name is Lars Vallon, and I'm one of the elders here. And it's my privilege to read the scripture this morning. Our first reading is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Our message scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
Come on down. Who's here today? I just made it. I just barely made it. I had to go out and do some shopping. I had to get some really important things because I have some work to do today. And the people here are going to be so happy. They're probably going to praise me and thank me a lot. So I'm going to need a couple of helpers to help me do this work. Who wants to help? Sophia, come and be my helper. Oscar, come and be my helper. Okay, I need one of you on my left and one of you on my right. All right, so we are going to do some really important work today. Are you excited? All right, you'll get a lot of thanks and praise for this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to clean all the bathrooms on the entire campus. And I even have a little brush so we can get down and scrub the grout, okay, on our hands and knees.
What?
What? Well, what did you think I was going to ask you to do?
Pass out like candy.
You thought you were going to pass out candy? Oh, no.
Candy.
What did you think that you were going to do?
Candy.
Also candy? No. You guys know me so well, don't you? Not today. Today is bathroom cleaning day. Okay. I'll take those little scepters from you. All right, so let's do this. Let's talk about what just happened, okay? Can we sit down with you? I still need Oscar on my left. I still need Sophia on my right. Here we come. We're coming down to sit by you. Hi. Let Sophia right in here real quick. Scooch in here. Okay, so what just happened when we heard that reading? Did you guys hear that? James and John, they're the disciples of Jesus. They've been hanging out with him for a long, long time now. And Jesus just told them, hey, I have to tell you something. He took them aside. He said, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be mocked, spit on, flogged, and killed. That's a lot, isn't it? But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. But still, the disciples didn't really understand. They thought that he was going to be a king like one who wears a crown. Isn't that beautiful? So they thought, I'm going to let you hold that. He was going to be a king, right? And so James and John, they want to sit with him in his glory, and they want to have power and be cool dudes. And they want to have all the attention, but they don't want to be servants. No, they're not thinking about helping others and serving others like Jesus does. They're just thinking about their own glory, their own power. Instead, what is Jesus going to be the king of? It's not earth. Here you go, Sophia. It's heaven. Hold that up for them to see. What is this? What is that? That is the cross. And I want to tell you something. Ironically, guess what? I love those shoes. Guess what? Someone did sit on his left, well, actually hang on his left and right. Remember? Hold this up. How many crosses were there? Not so many. There were how many?
Three.
One on each side. And so there were two thieves, right, that hung on the cross next to Jesus. So ironically, there were two people on his left and his right. How strange is that? But listen, Jesus loved James and John so much that he warned them. He said, you do not want to drink the cup I have to drink. He loved them. He cared about them. He was patient. He didn't get mad at them. He explained why what they were asking wasn't the best thing. So here's the big idea for today, okay? This is what's going to relate to you guys. When people who love you, mom, dad, when you read things in the Bible that you know you shouldn't do, right? That's your warning. So listen to them. They're smart. They're wise. They know a lot of things. And they love you and care about you, and they're going to give you good advice. Right? Can we remember that? So Jesus was so loving toward his disciples, wasn't he? That he warned them not to, that they did not want to do what they were asking. Okay, what else did I want to tell you? Oh, did you know that even in Ephesians, another book in the Bible, it says, and this is important, obey your parents, and if you do, you will live well and live long. Who wants to have a good, happy life? Any of you? Okay, then listen to your family who loves you. Who wants to live a good, long life? Then listen to your family. All right, I have one little thing to tell you. One time I saw a picture of my son on Facebook. He didn't know I was his friend's friend. And he was wearing flip-flops and climbing a giant cliff. I saw it on Facebook. And so when he got home, I said, why were you wearing flip-flops climbing a cliff? And he didn't know how I knew. But see, God has a way of telling your parents things that you're doing. And you should listen to them when they say don't do them. All right, let's pray that you will follow that advice. Dear Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us. Teach us to do things that are kind to others and helpful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you. You want to keep that, Oscar? There you go. Thank you. All right. I know, no candy today. Sorry.
All right, kids, it is now time for little worship. So everybody 4-year-old through fourth grade can go to little worship at the cross as long as it's okay with your parents. Don't run away from your parents. All right. And the rest of us, let's open God's word today. All right. In today's text, the disciples, there was some consternation going on. The disciples were really happy with Jesus' ministry toward the beginning. Toward the beginning, Jesus did things like heal people and cast out demons, and he preached these messages that were basically, you know, repent and believe the good news, and it was a really nice time to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus was he showed his power a lot. You know, I mean, in addition to the healings and stuff, he also, like in Nazareth, when he went home and the people there tried to throw him off a cliff or kill him, he was able to walk through the crowd and just get away. And I mean, it was a golden time in Jesus' ministry, according to the disciples. But lately, Jesus has been having a different message. He's starting to talk about, well, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and while I'm there, the Jewish leaders are going to arrest me. They're going to turn me over to the Gentiles, and I am going to be killed. Good story. It's just kind of strange. I mean, this... not the right kind of message to gather a crowd, you know, not kind of a message to build a movement is I'm about to die. It's kind of a rough message. And the disciples were extremely appropriate with their thing. It says they're on their way to Jerusalem. Okay, this is not a good place to go if you're expecting conflict with the authorities, right? Let's head to the capital where the authorities are strongest, right? So he's on his way to Jerusalem, and the Bible that we read here says the disciples were astonished. The word actually is more like anxious. The word is like very uncertain about what's about to happen. The idea is things are about to get real. This whole Jesus thing is about to have some major changes, and they can feel the changes are coming on. They know the message that Jesus is preaching, and it's getting them a little worried. And so some of the disciples are kind of worried, and the rest of them are just straight up afraid. Okay? So I kind of love the division of there. It's like the anxious and the afraid. So there we are. That's the distinction laid. And Jesus's response to his disciples being anxious and afraid is really interesting. He just tells the same story again. You know, he says, we are going to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And then 3 days later, he'll rise. Okay, that did not help the disciples much. So why did Jesus say it? I mean, for goodness sakes, if your people are already really anxious, why throw gas on the fire and make them even more anxious? And so, yeah, he Then James and John, again, the feeling amongst the disciples is things are about to change. Something's about to happen. And the disciples, two of them, James and John, the brothers, right, come up to Jesus while they're walking down the road. You know, it says Jesus is leading them and the rest are following. They must have run up and caught up or something and had this little private moment with Jesus. And they say to Jesus, I love this. See, have you ever done this as a kid or had your children do this to you? Can you give me whatever I ask for? What are you going to say to that? You know, it's just kind of a crazy thing to do. Anyway, but they did that. And then they said, what we want is this. We want to be at your right and your left when you come into your glory. Now, is this a good career move for James and John? Well, according to their brain, it was. Because what is glorious to them? Glorious to them is authority. Glorious to them is powerful. Glorious to them is influence. Glorious to them is wealth, riches, all the honor, all the things that we would think of when we talk about glorious, right? And what is Jesus' answer? You guys don't know what you're asking. You just don't get it. I am about to head into my glory here. But my glory isn't what you're imagining. And the position on my right and left is already occupied by somebody that God the Father has chosen. You will drink the cup that I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But the positions of glory, those are not for you. And the question is this, well, what is this glory? And we have to remember who this God is that we serve and who Jesus is and why he came. The God that we worship is a God of love and grace, a God who serves even though he doesn't have to, a God who is great and powerful and majestic and wise, a God who created everything, and the God that did all that and is capable of all that has bent all of his ability, all of his creativity, all of his purpose towards serving these people that he has made. So that when these people, us, were in desperate need of salvation, Jesus came into his glory in the moment that he was serving us most intensely. The more he serves, the more he is glorified. And the more he is glorified is the time that he gave the most. And that is the time when he was on the cross. Think about that. When Jesus talks about him coming into his glory, he's talking about being on the cross. Now, does that make a little more sense when the disciples are fearful and Jesus tells them, listen, we're going to Jerusalem, and I am about to come into my glory. I am about to be arrested by the teachers of the law. I will be turned over to the Gentiles. I will be put to death, and through that death, all people will live. And the point, the goal of God, since the fall into sin, will finally be accomplished. And God will be glorified in his death. That's a little backward for our brains, isn't it? That the point of everything for Jesus was to die. The point of all of this, And the thing for which we give him eternal praise and thanksgiving, the thing for which the angels will praise him forever, is that he gave himself so that we can live. And then he tells his disciples, listen, among the Gentiles, people seek earthly glory. People want the things that they consider glorious, right? They want power. They want authority. They want riches. They want influence. They want fame. They want people to love them and think highly of them. That is what people are looking for. And he says, among you, it will not be this way. But if anybody wants to be great among you, he must be servant of all. Doesn't sound very glorious, does it? I mean, who wants to be a servant? Who wants to take the lowest position in the room, right? Who wants to be the one that is always taking care of everybody else, moms? Yeah, dads, you know? I mean, it's like this. I never dreamed of driving a minivan. It was never my hopes or desire. But did I drive a minivan? Why? Because the family needed it, right? I would have much preferred a sports car. You know what I'm saying? But since that doesn't have a back seat, it really wasn't in the cards. And so, in very real ways, all throughout our lives, this is how we live. We live to sacrifice for the people around us, the people that God has given us to love. Is there glory in that? Not earthly glory. I mean, you know, the minivan, it does not win any beauty contests. But is it the most amazing thing that God has given us is some of these children? You know, the opportunity to raise them and to shape them and to inculcate them in faith into them and to help them to know Jesus. And isn't it an incredible thing? And you know, when we pour ourselves into our families, pour ourselves into our spouse, you know, all the trouble that we have in the way marriages work so much is because we have this idea, this power politics way of thinking, right? Like in the marriage, who's in charge? Guys, who's in charge? Yeah, you are because your wife lets you, right? Yeah. No, the thing is, here's the thing. For way too long, men saw that verse where it said, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And we said, yeah. We kind of edited out the verse right before it where it said, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So tell me this, how many times did Jesus make selfish decisions when it came to the church? Never. Guys, guess how many times you get to make selfish decisions? Never. You know what I'm saying? The reason that we struggle with this stuff is because we have this bizarre, unbiblical idea of power politics in our head. Like, who has power over who? Who gets to tell who what to do? Who has all the power? Who, you know what I'm saying? And that's not the way God wants us to live. The way God wants us to live is this. Men, you're in charge. Do you know what that means? It means you're the biggest servant. You're the one that eats last. You're the one that does without. Whenever it's you want something, but your family needs something else, you are the one that gets to sacrifice because you're the leader. And it's glorious. It's amazing that we, like Jesus who came before us, taught us to sacrifice ourselves for the people that God has given us to love. That we pour ourselves out. And the question, next question is this: when does this whole plan expire? When do we finally get to start living for ourselves? Never. Now, the thing is this: by the time you finally could, maybe, you'll be in heaven and you won't want to anymore. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's this thing is that we're going to be perfect in heaven and we won't be selfish anymore. And the whole idea is this: we get to follow Christ. He gave everything for us, and now he says, I want you, Monday, Thursday, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, love one another. Our God has rescued us. Our God has saved us. He has brought us into his family. He has given us families. He has put us in a community of people who love Jesus together, and our job is this: to become great by serving, by giving ourselves, loving the people around us, sacrificing ourselves daily so that other people can have what they need. Isn't it a beautiful thing? If you guys don't think so, try it. It's absolutely amazing. The joy that you have in loving and taking care of people, there is nothing like it. It's why we're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're an amazing God. Pray that you would continue to work in us and through us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we love each other, as we sacrifice, as we give, as we love you by loving others. Lord, I pray that you would help us and guide us and send your Spirit to show us the ways that we can be your people. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time for us to continue worship by collecting the offering. As the offering is collected, I do ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you find in the pews, and let us at the same time sing praise to our God.
We adore you.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with Luther's explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Jesus, I thank you that you came as our suffering servant, that you lived the perfect life, you died as an atoning sacrifice that we might be reconciled to God, that you rose from the dead, and that you instructed us in the way of living as a servant to all. So, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit you help us to serve others as you call us to. Open our eyes to see the needs of others and guide us to recognize how you will satisfy those needs working in and through us. Lord, I also pray for the civil authorities, for those that you have entrusted the right to enforce laws and to enact justice throughout the land. I pray that you would grant them wisdom in that calling, and that they would serve the people who are under their charge. Lord, I pray that you would be with Matthew Harrison, our synodical president, Lee Hagen, our district president, Douglas Chinberg, our circuit visitor, our pastors here at St. Mark's, and all pastors around the world. You've entrusted to them people to shepherd and to guide to follow you. So, Lord, I pray that you would grant them the wisdom, that they would follow your Spirit, and they would serve those who are in their charge. All these things we pray in your Son's holy and precious name, who's taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Holds you, the dance go before you.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing song.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive. You keep hope alive from the beginning to end. Your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive. Death had a stronghold, but your life was stronger. Rose from the grave, rose up from the grave. Yeah, yeah. When evil is rising, you're rising higher.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children who are going to go to Sunday school, maybe excused, and can go meet in the back and go then over to the gym like they do. I'd also like to invite Carla Bomarito forward for our life talk for today.
So I wore my Strong Women Pray shirt today. I'm not excluding strong men who pray also, but I just love this shirt. And I wore it because today the Life Talk is about prayer. God tells us to pray. He instructs us to pray. Ephesians 6, 16 through 18 invites us all to take up the armor of God and to pray. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. God invites our prayers. He doesn't need them. He already knows what we'll pray. But prayers are for us and for are helpful for building our relationships with Him. So your St. Mark's Life team is inviting you to join us in 10 days of prayer for life. We're suggesting Easter, or after Easter, April 1st through the 10th. The insert in your bulletin, which was in there today, includes a daily item to pray for and a supporting Bible passage. Our world needs to be encouraged to affirm life from womb to tomb, through preborn to life's natural end. God is the only one who can change hearts. We are His representatives in this world, and prayer is our way of tapping God's power to make those changes. So some of the things that we put down to pray for would be our preborn babies, praying for the newborns, that they're going to be loved and cared for, praying for all children that they get to know Jesus, praying for the sanctity of life from womb to tomb, praying for the pregnancy resource centers helping their staff and clients. We also want to pray for state legislation, especially now, and for all the legislators making those decisions. But we're not going to stop there. We want to pray for the abortion clinics. We want God to change hearts and for the workers that work there. We also want to pray for all women with unplanned pregnancies, that they know that they are loved and can get help. This prayer list will be in the bulletin. It's there today, but it'll be there another week. And was also in the March Scribe newsletter and will also be in the April newsletter. I'll also have one posted on the bulletin board across from the Connection Center. So once again, please pray with us in affirming the sanctity of all life, precious, wonderful life that was God created. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carla. A couple other announcements I want to highlight. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and so we have a special opportunity. At the beginning of the service, there's going to be a procession of palms. And so if your children want to participate in that, my understanding is that they'll meet with DCE Lauren Bates in the narthex in that area right outside the worship center just before the service starts. They'll get to participate in that. As well, next week we have no Sunday school education hour, but we do have Chris Cakes coming. They'll be flipping in the gym from 10:45 a.m. to noon. So come and catch your breakfast. Tickets are $10 for adults and $6 for kids that are 12 and under. You can purchase tickets right at the door, an unlimited pancake breakfast. And all the money that's raised will go towards supporting youth mission trips. So keep that in mind. So plan on having pancake lunch next week. There's also, you might have noticed as you're coming in, a book fair going on. And today is the last day. If you are interested in perusing the books and shopping them, you are welcome to do so right after this service concludes. Lastly, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere is having a get-together on Saturday morning, March 23rd. So that should be, I believe, this Saturday, from 8:45 a.m. to 11 a.m. And all women of St. Mark's Church are invited. This event is for all women of our St. Louis LWML West Zone. The main speaker will be Aaron McKenzie, a St. Louis native, and now a missionary to Latin America. Fruit and pastries will be served. If you want to share a ride, the plan is to meet at St. Mark's and leave around 8:20. Please sign up at the Connection Center on the other side of that wall, or you can call Joni, and I have her number. I think that's in the bulletin. You can see it there. I'll go with that. Lastly, though, for real, not an announcement, but I'd like to invite Pastor Bob up for a special recognition.
One last thing, I promise. All right. Could I get Ron Putman and Fred Oswald to stand up? You guys here today? I think Ron's here. Okay, very good. Okay, this is the thing. We've got lots of people who serve here, work hard, do lots of things. We just wanted to call these two guys out. They have been ushering. They have been, Ron was always our metals guy when we did properties here. He's done so many things for so many years. He was here before I got here. He's been here. We just really wanted to recognize their many, many years of service to God and to his congregation here in Eureka. And so we have cards for each of you, and I just wanted to thank you so much, Ron. With that, God's blessings on your day. It's been wonderful worshiping with you, and we will see you in the back.